Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. Hey, hey, Laptop Lifestylers. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and I am beyond excited to bring on today's guest, Chloe Hall. Chloe is a photographer, blogger, YouTuber, and digital content creator. She has worked with brands like Pepsi, Bose, Macy's, Gap, and Madewell. And what I love most about her story, and I cannot wait for her to share, is that she recently dropped out of college to pursue her blogging career full-time, which I admire and think is one of the coolest things. Hey, Chloe, how's it going?
Hey, Alexis, it's good.
I'm so excited to bring you on today's show. I knew that when I met you that your story was just going to impact so many people. So I am so thankful for you being on the show today.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm really excited.
I remember whenever we very first met, I reached out to you on Instagram, like I do pretty much all of my guests. And I was like, hey, let's meet for coffee, because Chloe's in Nashville, y'all. I live in Nashville. Chloe's in Nashville. And we met for coffee, and honestly, that was probably one of the coffee meetings that kind of changed the trajectory of, you know, how I viewed my online business. So I'm really excited to get into the way that you think today, Chloe, about money, about blogging, about your youth and creativity. And it's going to be a good time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? So tell me a little bit about how you kind of got started in photography. I know that your first creative passion was singing, and then you stepped into photography. So tell me a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so I originally enrolled at Belmont as a commercial voice major, so Belmont University in Nashville, and thinking I was going to go into worship leading pretty much all of high school. And so I enrolled as a commercial voice major, did that for a semester, and then at the end of the fall semester, right before break, I kind of decided that music isn't really what I wanted. I saw the passion in a lot of people, and I mean, it's very apparent that to make it in music in Nashville, you have to really want it, and you have to, you know, want it over anything else. And that's not how I was thinking, and I just felt like it wasn't what I was supposed to do anymore. And so, yeah, so right before break, I just got the idea to change my major. I was like, I've always loved art. I've always loved visual art. And I was thinking, you know, you can worship God in more than one way. It doesn't have to be in the church. It doesn't have to be worship leading. And so kind of on a total whim, I went in and I changed my major to photography and design communications, which is just a graphic design major.
Oh, wow.
But kind of at that moment, too, I made a complete mental switch of just starting a business. And it was kind of like I started it really blindly. I was like, oh, well, now I'm a graphic design major. I need a website. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. And so I just did it. And I didn't really think it was crazy that I was thinking all those thoughts, even though I had just switched over. I had made a website before even like doing my first photography job, and it just kind of fell into place there. But that's kind of how I got into photography. It was kind of just on a whim, and I mean, obviously, I was led by a feeling, but it was just taking a step of faith and changing direction, even though like I never saw that coming.
And I love that you went all in on it too. You're like, okay, I'm a graphic design maker or graphic designer major. I now need a website, and I now need to like have this digital presence. Did that step in your life lead to blogging?
Yeah. So, I mean, I do everything kind of that way. Whenever I have this idea, I tend to do it at like 200%, and sometimes it's a really good thing, and sometimes it can get me in some trouble. But for this instance, it was a really good choice that I had made to just go ahead and start. I didn't have a big following, but I didn't have like a huge following before, but I just figured like if this is what I want to do, like better start now. And yeah, I would say that it definitely led to blogging. Having that social media presence, I mean, is blogging. It's getting yourself out there. It's putting yourself out there as an influencer or somebody who creates. And I think starting early was the best thing I could have done.
Yeah, I wish I would have started sooner, honestly. Like, I love that you went all in, because I didn't really start seeing online business and online entrepreneurship / blogging as really an opportunity until my senior year of college. So I was already 21 by the time I'd even like saw this as a legitimate career. You know, I was so, I mean, like, I guess that was 2.5 years ago, but still, I just felt very late to the game. Yeah. But I love that you just went completely all in on it. And then Instagram was kind of the catalyst to your blog and business growth. And tell me a little bit about how that happened.
Yeah, so Instagram is basically why I am even being interviewed today, pretty much. It's kind of the whole reason I started growing so quickly and started getting so many jobs and like working with brands. But yeah, so my Instagram actually started in high school when I was I was really into drawing and I was really into like painting and visual arts. And it was more of a hobby. And so I saw that my friend had started an Instagram account and was posting her artwork on there. And I was like, whoa, she's getting like 8,000 followers in a month. Like, it was insane. Wow. And I was like, how in the world? Like, and she was getting commission jobs and was doing paintings for people. And like, she was gaining some real traction. And so I was like, well, I need to start one. Like, and so I just started one and I started posting my art and just started getting it out there. And it started to pick up. It started to pick up really fast. And I would say by freshman year, I was at 13,000. So, I mean, freshman year of college. So I was at 13,000 by then. And then I just started doing photography. And by that point, so it was by this summer before sophomore year of college, I was at around like 21,000, 21,000 followers. And so that summer, I was picked to be one of Instagram's suggested users. And so what that means is that Instagram created this list of about 20 people every month. And what they would do is they'd put those 20 people out there as the people you follow right when you start creating an Instagram account. And so so many people create accounts every second. And so I was gaining 30 per second, like 30 followers per second. And it was just the most crazy thing. Like when I first saw that, like I was in really bad service and I was getting lunch with a friend and I was just getting on really quick while he was in the bathroom. And I thought my phone was broken because I like got on and it said like 99 likes and 99 followers. And I was like, what? That can't be right. Like I thought there was a glitch because I've never had that before. Like that's never happened. And I had bad service, so I couldn't see the email that they'd sent, and I couldn't see the direct message they sent. It didn't even load my pictures. It just said the notification at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, surely my phone is broken. Like, there's no way. And then I got out, and I, like, got into better service, and I saw the email, and I was like, this is crazy, because I had only known, like, a handful of people who have had it happen, and I didn't even really know them. I just saw it happen, and I just saw the rapid growth. And but within 2 weeks of that happening, I gained 50,000 followers. It was nuts.
Oh my gosh. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So that you feel like that moment is really what kind of set you off as a blogger,
for sure.
And just like all of your business increased, all of your offers, your brand collaborations increased because of that.
Because of that number, absolutely. Yeah. I mean. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the number really puts you out there. So when you have a higher number of brands just, like, are paying attention to your account. And I don't know, that happening is honestly what, like, made my mind up that this is what I'm going to be doing and what I'm going to pour my heart into. And I started to take it a lot more seriously when that happened because I was like, whoa, like, 50,000 more people are watching now. Like, better step it up.
Yeah, it makes you it makes you really push yourself to be more creative and to come up with, you know, better content and to, when you are partnering with brands, really knock it out of the park every single time to make them come back too.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
It's not just like, oh, okay, I'm like working with Macy's. It's like, no, I want to crush it so that I can continue to work with Macy's, and they're a retainer brand I work with, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
I think a lot of bloggers do like one-time partnerships, and it's like, how can I turn this one-time partnership into a retainer, you know, ongoing partnership where every month I get a box of clothes and I shoot, and then I, you know, send them all of the content or style their products and things like that, because that's what takes your hobby, your hobby blog into a career blog, you know, is by creating that reoccurring revenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel, like, do you feel that having a website or having strong social media platforms are more important?
I would definitely say having the strong social media platform would be the absolutely most important thing you could possibly do if you're any type of visual person. So you're a blogger, you're a photographer, you're a graphic designer, but even musicians, like if anything that you can showcase your work on a portfolio that is automatically in front of people, they don't have to go find, is amazing. I will say that most of the companies, though, that do reach out to me will reach out through a website. So I think it's absolutely important to have something professional for them to go to once they find your social media. But I would say treat your social media platform as a portfolio, you know, put your best work out there, and because brands and, you know, people who want to hire you or are looking to hire somebody are out there watching. So,
yeah, kind of treat it like your online resume.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like Instagram is the LinkedIn for millennials.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't even get on LinkedIn.
Yeah, me neither.
Getting those emails that are like, so-and-so is still trying to be your friend on LinkedIn. And I'm like, I don't remember my password. And just, yeah.
I don't want to be on LinkedIn.
I'm like, I don't want to be your friend on LinkedIn. Just kidding.
I mean, think about it, though. Like, think about the different social media platforms and what industries are hanging out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Twitter, I mean, I'm still surprised that Twitter is still big. Yeah, I literally can't believe it.
I can't figure it out. I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to use Twitter? Like,
yeah, but it's businesses, though. Like, yeah. businesses in the online space that are like tongue in cheek, and they are more so business, like authors, speakers. Twitter is their jam. Like, they that's where they live. Yeah. They have over 10,000 followers, and so they're able to really create traction there. And then you've got LinkedIn, who's for like all the professionals, people who are looking for jobs, wanting to leave their job, wanting to, you know, connect with different types of people and different career paths. And then you have like Instagram, which is this weird mashup of people using it for personal use, but also like people are now using it as that online resume, and it's more for creatives.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so cool is that people are using it for personal use as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just a LinkedIn where it's all business professionals. Like, you're getting views from the everyday user of Instagram, and I think that's actually what makes it so helpful, is that people are seeing it no matter what. It's not like they have to go search out, oh, I'm looking to hire so-and-so. Like, it's very easy to stumble upon you and use you for a job.
Yeah, and also those kind of everyday user accounts are more loyal than if, you know, we're all doing the same thing here. Like, in the creative space, like the blogging, the YouTubers, the podcasters, like, we're all creating a lot of content every day. And of course, we all follow each other, but our audience isn't really each other sometimes. It's like, it's the everyday person, you know, who might not have a creative job, but loves your art, you know, or loves the way you put together an outfit, and you inspire them that way. And you kind of create that loyal base from that type of audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you started out, you know, kind of switching your major to graphic design. You created a website. Then, you know, you started to take Instagram more serious, and then boom, you know, the whole Instagram preferred account happened to you, and like, you grew in 2 weeks, and then you decided at what point to drop out of college to pursue blogging full time. Like, when did you know that blogging was going to financially, you know, be able to support you, also while knowing like, hey, you know, college just really isn't for me right now?
Yeah. So, I would say that decision didn't actually happen until exactly a year after the Instagram thing happened. But, so I mean, the suggested user happened. I went into sophomore year, just doing photography. I was doing every job I could, taking everything I could. Started working with a photographer named Cameron Powell, who's a portrait photographer around Nashville. Started doing that, working with like celebrity clients with him, and started to get kind of familiar with the studio as well. But so probably around October of sophomore year, I started getting into stationery company stuff. And I created this stationery brand called Jaren Fox Paper Co. with a friend. And at that moment, I was like, well, maybe I just want to own a paper company. Like, because I had wanted to own a paper company, like, you know, back in sophomore year of high school. And that was like a big dream in high school. And so when I started doing Fox and it started taking off and it started, you know, getting in stores and people were wanting it and people wanted it for wholesale and people wanted it at markets. And I was thinking like, whoa, like maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, I love it. But I realized that selling a product is so much harder than selling a service. And at the moment, I was exhausting myself. I was in the middle of a school year, near finals. I was in a major that took up a lot of time and a lot of outside of class time. I was, you know, doing Deer and Fox. I was pushing out designs for Thanksgiving and for fall and for winter and then getting stuff ready for spring. And it was so difficult. I was up until 2 in the morning, sometimes 3 in the morning, just trying to get everything done because I was in classes from 8 a.m. to like 6 p.m. because my classes were in 3-hour chunks. Mm-hmm. And then getting back, eating dinner, and then just starting to work on Deer and Fox. And I loved it. It was definitely a passion-driven project that I was doing, but it wasn't generating revenue. And so I realized that I need to make money. You have to make money in this world. And photography at that moment was my source of income. It was my job. And I realized that I was, you know, not taking up photography work because I was doing Deer and Fox. And I just kind of looked at the two and I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, Chloe, like, photography makes money. You love photography. Like, just drop Deer and Fox. And for a little bit, I was like, well, I can't drop it. Like, people are going to think I gave up. People are going to think I quit. And I did quit. Like, I walked away from it. And I think that's okay. I think it doesn't really matter what people think. If you know what's best for you, like, you need to do that. And so I ended up just kind of putting it down and, you know, pursuing photography again full time. And at that moment, I was still really putting everything into Instagram. So I was still getting jobs kind of here and there. But after Jaren Fox stopped around February of the next year, I guess, so 2016, February of 2016, I decided that I would just focus on photography and focus on creating my brand and kind of honing in on who I am and figuring that out too. Because after Jaren Fox stopped, I kind of was like, well, what am I doing? Like, who am I? Like, am I a photographer? Because I wasn't putting all my like heart and soul into photography. I was like, but I'm not a paper company either. And so, I had to kind of work through that as well and figure out what I wanted to do going forward. But yeah.
No, I remember you telling me the story whenever we met for coffee for the very first time. And I love that you were so conscious of whether or not the business was revenue generating, because I think a lot of times we turn those passion projects into these big, you know, romanticized dreams, because it was, you know, you were very passionate about it. And just because you quit it and you put it to the side right now doesn't mean that you can't pick it back up, because I know that you also talked about that, about how that's something that you still might want to do in the future, but maybe you do it different now, knowing what you know right now, you know, and the different ways that you would run it. But I love that you are very, you know, money conscious. And I think that's something that in the entrepreneur space, people, it's like assumed that you're making money, but no one really wants to talk about how it's being made or how hard it is to make it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, Nashville's a competitive market and blogging is a competitive space. And so how do you carve out, you know, your brand, who you are in that space, and also know your worth enough to charge for your work?
Yeah, I think, well, as far as knowing my worth goes, Cameron, the guy that I started interning with, or right now like work for a little bit, he kind of drilled that into me from very early on. He was like, you're very talented. He's like, this is what you should be charging. And he's like, and you need to know that if you want to be valued at a certain
level,
then you have to value yourself at that level. And I do have to admit, like, when I first started photography, which I think everybody should start lower in prices, but when I was first starting, I was charging like $75 for 3 hours. And looking back at that, I just laugh at myself because I'm like, how did you do that? But you have to start somewhere, and you grow though, and you get your prices up higher, and you go fast. And that was his like biggest piece of advice. He's like, get your prices as high as you can, as fast as you can. And at first I was like, well, no one's gonna hire me then. Like no one's gonna do that. And
yeah.
But that's true. Like, a lot of people didn't hire me because I was too expensive. But I got the jobs that people wanted, a good photographer who valued their photographer. And it wasn't just like, hey, can you come take pictures of like my dog? Like, it wasn't jobs like that. It was stuff that I actually could like put the work into and feel good about, knowing that like I wasn't being cheated, or that I wasn't just like working for nothing. And that was the same thing with brands too. As soon as you present yourself as somebody who deserves to be paid, they will pay you. Some brands won't. And I think that's what a lot of bloggers are afraid of at first, is approaching a brand and say, hey, like, I'm worth something and you need to pay me. Because a lot of bloggers, at least that are starting out that I know, didn't even really know you could make money off of it, which surprised me a lot, because, you know, from the second I started blogging, my mindset was like, okay, how can we turn this into a job? Like, how can I make money? How can this be more profitable than photography? Because I'm going to choose whatever's more profitable. If photography is more profitable, I'm going to go that route because I know I can do photography and I know I love it. Mm-hmm. But if blogging is more profitable, then I'm going to go that route because I love that as well. But I found that a lot of bloggers were too timid when they approached brands. And they would, you know, always approach it as like, hey, could you just send me product? And I think that's great. I think if it's a product that you really like as a blogger and you want that for a post, then I say do it. Like, but I think they need to know also that like they are worth the work. They are worth putting in the time. If they have to go shoot something, then they at least need to be paid so that they can pay their photographer. I see so many bloggers just, you know, putting out of pocket their own money from another job so that they can do blogging. And, you know, I want to say to them, which I do sometimes, I want to say, like, why aren't you charging people? Like if this is a job to you, like, why aren't you charging people as if you are a service? You're not just a free social media platform that, you know, brands can take advantage of and put their stuff out there. If brands are going to use you, then you need to be compensated.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that doesn't get talked about a lot either. A lot of people don't know bloggers make money. They think bloggers get a lot of free stuff, which we do, but they don't see the business side of it, or they haven't seen the business side of it yet, so they just don't know about it.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I can speak to that because that's something that I am trying to figure out right now. Is I do have a lot of brand partnerships, but very few of them are paid. It's just a lot of free product. And so I'm in the process right now of creating my media kit.
Yeah.
And like when they send me an email, I reply with my media kit. And like, here is what I charge, because having something more, having like, you know, a well-designed graphic PDF of brands you've worked with, your social platforms, your reach, who you are, what you're passionate about, and sending that back to them and being like, okay, this is who I am and this is what I charge, they're also going to take you more serious too, you know? And I think when you are getting started blogging, or really getting started anytime, and someone wants to send you, you know, free product, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, I'm getting free stuff. But then, like, I'm paying $200 for a photo shoot,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, and my time on top of that, because how much is your time worth? And that's something that, you know, honestly, I feel like a lot of people don't measure when it comes to their creative, you know, as entrepreneurs or in their creative space. They're not also measuring the time they're taking creating the thing. You know, it's not just like a flat rate fee. It's like, okay, this plus 5 hours of brain power and creativity, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like, you also knowing and leveraging the companies you're working for based upon whether or not you want to push for them to pay you, you know, like, well, being able to say I worked with Coach versus, you know, asking for, you know, my specific rate and they don't pay it. And then I miss out on the collaboration. Like, is that worth it too? You know?
Yeah, totally. I think like one, the media kit is the number one tool that every blogger, influencer should have. They need to have a media kit.
What is a media kit? So, explain that really quick.
Yeah, so a media kit is kind of just like a resume that you would send to somebody who wants to hire you for a job. So it's got your stats, photos that you have, that you've taken, just kind of, it shows your aesthetic, it shows like what your reach is, who you reach, your specific demographic, it shows brands that you've worked with, and then it shows your rates, and it shows what's included in different packages that you have. And so I got one of those back in June, I think, is when I put mine together, and they're very easy. You can go online, you can just Google media kit, and you can download one off the internet, or you can make one. I made one in Illustrator. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very simple, and it's a tool that will help you not be taken advantage of. I think a lot of bloggers are taken advantage of, and they don't realize it. And that is one thing that frustrates me so much, because they need to know what they're worth. And the industry standard is actually $100 per every 20,000 followers that you have. So if you have, 100,000 followers, then you should be getting $500 per Instagram post. So wow. You need to realize that your actual individual posts are worth money. So, mm-hmm. So take that into account too. It's not just your time. It's not just the product. It's not just the photographer that you need to cover. You're paying. They're paying for the actual platform. They're paying for the actual post that goes up. And I think that too is something that people don't take into account of. The post, the photo that you actually put out there is an advertisement for them. They need to be paying to have their advertisement on your profile. And that's something that I don't know. I feel like a lot of people don't know or don't realize, or maybe they do realize it and they are just too afraid of rejection. I was afraid of rejection for a long time. And then I kept saying yes, and I got overwhelmed and I started spending more money than I was making. And I realized I don't want to live like that either. I'd rather have fewer jobs that pay me more than have a ton of jobs that don't pay me or pay me just a little bit, because then I'm just doing work and work and work and work for nothing. Whereas I have about four just really large brand deals lined up right now, and that's my whole month's salary. I only need to do four posts, and that's my month's income.
That's incredible.
And incredible. I work smarter, not harder. I mean, honestly, though, if you can do that, I say take advantage of that and do it.
Yeah. But you also did a lot of hard work up to the point where you are now, So it's like,
oh, absolutely,
It's totally a mix of both. But I agree. It's like, use strategy, use what you have and leverage that to be able to get, what you want from a collaboration, from a brand deal, from honestly anything in life. Like, I think once you sit down and really map out what you're good at and your value, and then when people ask you for things, use that leverage in order to also get what you want. Because, I mean, everybody wants something from each other. And let's just be honest. Like, everybody in business, everybody in life, everybody in relationships, we all want and need different things from each other. And so I feel like a lot of times whenever you're just getting started out in entrepreneurship in general, it's very one-sided. As as the solopreneur, you're going out and you're giving, but you're not really asking for anything in return. Yeah. And I think that's okay at first, because you have to get your feet wet. You have to really like dig in and learn as much as you can. But I think it's like, where do you switch that off and then start asking for things? Well, start knowing your worth. It's like a hard line to, whenever you cross it, you don't know how to go back.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started, I was taking, like I said, I was taking so many free jobs, so many just product trade, like collaborations. But my rule of thumb, whenever I approach a brand, and I wish I had done this right when I first started as well, not just as a larger blogger, but I wish that I had done this right when I started, and I suggest doing this if you are just starting blogging tomorrow, or if you've been blogging for a year, or if you've been blogging for 5 years. I would suggest that you approach a brand with the media kit and you say, let me know if there's anything else you would like to do. And most of the time, if this is a product that you really want, they will come back and say, well, we can't afford, or our marketing budget is already been used up for this year, but we'd still like to send you product. Well, then you still get product. But then sometimes they come back and they say, oh, well, we would like to do this specific thing, and then they'll pay you. So I would always go in with a media kit and say, hey, this is my media kit with information about me and my rates. Let me know what you're thinking on how to work together. And I would say like 20% of the time they'll be like, oh, hey, yeah, we would like to pay you. And then probably the other 80%, they'll say, hey, we can't pay you, but would you like a product? And that's where you get to decide, do I want to take the product or do I want to walk away? So mm-hmm. you still end up with something at the end of the day, but that's if you want to take that or not. But it's always good to approach it first with, hey, will you pay me? Because chances are they actually might. And if you don't ever ask, how are you ever going to get paid?
you don't.
Exactly. You don't get paid.
No, I think, gosh, that's such good advice. How do you approach a brand that hasn't approached you first? You know, so it's like, I have a lot of inbound. How many emails do you get a day with companies asking to work with you?
It kind of varies. So some days I'll get like 2, and then some days I'll get like 7. It kind of depends. Sometimes it's not every day. Sometimes I don't get anything, and sometimes I'm just in the limbo. It's not every day. I would say it can seem like it is sometimes, but when you look at it, it's like, oh, there are days where you're just sitting around and waiting and wondering, okay, what can I do to stay busy? I would say to approach a brand, I would say have that media kit together. I actually have kind of an outline of how I want to speak to a brand when I first approach them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would get their email from – you can get their email from Instagram now. There's like a contact page, or you can find it on their Facebook page, or you can just go to their website and find their email. But I would definitely do it in an email. Don't send it over on Instagram. That's not professional. But yeah, I would send it over through an email, and I have like a little kind of formula I use when I talk to a brand when I first approach them. So I'll say like, I'll use Bose as an example. Hey Bose, I've been using your headphones for a really long time, and I absolutely love the fact that they cancel out noise in coffee shops. I was wondering if you were in need of any type of influencer for the fall of this year. Here's my media kit with more information about me, but let me know if you have any other ideas of how we can work together in mind. Thanks, Chloe Hall. And that's it. And I send it over. And sometimes they respond. Yep, sometimes they don't. Yeah, you don't drag it out. Because from the very first sentence, they know what you want. I think we think brands are kind of stupid sometimes. And they know you want free stuff. And that's okay. Because they're a brand and they want something from you too. And that's why you have to value yourself. Because we're kind of – when you ask a brand for free stuff, you're kind of taking advantage of them. So why not, you know, get something back too? So they need to be able to, like, have something from you. And that's why I say that your platform is actually valuable. Because they say yes only because your Instagram post has monetary value.
Isn't it crazy that we live in a world where brands now see bloggers as more influential than billboards?
Yeah.
I was a marketing major, and so I think like that's just crazy because I studied traditional marketing. I didn't even take a social media course in college. Like, that's how dated my marketing degree was at times. But they also taught, you know, the value of influence. And I think that we're moving into this really incredible, unique space and time where anyone can have influence if they, you know how to present themselves in a, you know, artistic or authentic way. And if they, you know, are professional and if they use their influence in a way of like positivity. Cause I also think that like millennials can see through all the BS too. And I like that. Like, I like that we're like, oh, they're not really like that authentic, you know? Yeah. And so how have you found your voice as a photographer and blogger? And is it difficult to be authentic in this space?
So I would say that I approach my Instagram and my blogging a little bit different than probably most. To me, if we're going to be completely honest, my Instagram is a business. And I think that's actually what has set me apart too. And I think that's why I make money off of it is because, it is personal sometimes, but it is a business. And I think it's good for me to be able to mentally separate from it. Because for a little while, you know, I was trying to convince myself that that was my life And it made living my real life very difficult because I was constantly being like, well, like my life isn't that pretty, or, you know, I'm not actually doing cool things every day. And, mm-hmm. and for a long time I was emotionally attached to it, which I mean, I am emotionally attached in the sense that like, I do love the people who follow me. I talk back and forth with them. My whole heart and soul is into it, because it's my job and I love it so much, but, it is still a job to me. And I think I approach it that way.
Cause it allows you to kind of keep emotionally separated from that, like you're not finding your worth in social.
Exactly.
It's a business to you. No, I think that's really like healthy. Like, I think that's so healthy because I think a lot of times people get so wrapped up in their brand and their online profiles that they can't live without it. And so it's like, if you, I think this is something to ask, you know, all online bloggers or, you know, online content creators who have built a lot of their brand on social, is if Instagram got hacked and was deleted, like, would your business be gone? You know, and like, that's why I always urge people to have a website and to like build a lot of their content on their website too, not just a social platform, because you don't make the rules there. Someone Absolutely. Else does. And so it's like having, you know, you own your email list, you own your blog, your website, and what you put there. Whereas like, you know, everything else is just kind of rented real estate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people have been extremely affected by that new algorithm on Instagram.
Yes, it sucks.
And that's something that, like, we absolutely cannot control. And tomorrow, it could change again. And, you know, different things are happening, and they seem to be happening fairly quickly. Instagram makes a lot of changes, and it's something that you just kind of have to suck up and just roll with, like, when you're on there. And it is hard. A lot of times I get really frustrated because I'm like, okay, how did this change? And, you know, and tons of people are affected by it. Yeah, I think that's a great idea to, you know, yeah, have the website, have the email list. And that's something I'm working on right now, is building the email list, because I do see the value in having that number of people who, you know, you like you said, you own that. Like, it's not going to be gone tomorrow.
Hey girl, I love email lists. You know I work for ConvertKit. I'm all about that email list, girl.
You convinced me.
Did I really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. Oh, that's so great. There's so much power in the list. Yeah.
You were the sole purpose why I like went home after, I guess, that like networking event, and I was like, I gotta start an email list.
Oh, good. I'm so excited to hear that. That makes me so happy. On the social platforms, speaking of, you know, building your brand on different platforms online, you recently just started a YouTube channel. And so, you know, YouTube has been around for, I don't know, 8-9 years now. How long has YouTube been around? Like, quite?
I don't even know.
It's like the dinosaur platform of social, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And which is awesome.
It crushes it. I don't even understand. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's like, you can still monetize it. You can still, you know, create an account and really create an audience there. Tell me your strategy or kind of why you wanted to start the YouTube channel after, you know, it's been a platform for a long time. Was there some doubt around whether or not that was going to be something that you wanted to pursue, or how difficult that would be?
Yeah. So I actually had a YouTube account back in high school, for singing. And I actually had this one video that got picked up by Gemma Styles, which is Harry Styles from One Direction's sister. Mm. And it basically like, it got like 70,000. No, what was it? So the audio clip got like taken from my video and put on SoundCloud, and it got 300,000 listens to in 24 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And that is like my little claim to fame right there. So that pretty much happened, and my YouTube account grew pretty quickly on there. But then I stopped doing music, so that whole thing died. But sorry, going back into YouTube. My friend Mallory, we shoot for each other. She's another blogger, and she's more YouTube based. And basically the whole reason why I started YouTube was, one, because I wanted to show a little bit more of my personality. I feel like Instagram is kind of limits that a little bit, just because you can't really do full length videos on there. But I wanted to do something that would showcase that a little bit. I wanted to do just different styles of creativity on there. So whereas like Instagram's like always pictures and like like small videos or like YouTube, you could do like more fun things like vlogs, and I've always wanted to vlog. And so I kind of went in just thinking like, you know, even if nobody watches this, this is kind of for me in the end, because I just really want to do vlogging and I want to be able to go back and watch them.
Yeah.
But
sometimes it's okay to just do things for yourself.
Yeah.
Too,
and
you know,
there's a lot of brand deals in YouTube as well. Like a lot, yeah. And so I'm not going to lie. I was very interested in growing YouTube specifically for that, to get into mm-hmm. more brand deals and just to reach a different type of audience. But yeah, I don't know. It was intimidating because I was like, what if this just totally flops? Which it may flop. I don't really know. I'm very new at it. I'm very new at videos and recording myself.
I love it. Like, I love that you are so, yeah, I think it's so great. I've watched like a lot of your vlogs, and also like Samantha Coyle, and I've even watched some of Mallory's too.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I love that style. It's something that I've been interested in. It's something that my mom tells me I should do. She's like, you should start a YouTube channel. You should get on video. And I'm just like, okay, mom, because it intimidates me too. Like, you know, holding a camera and talking to it and like sharing different parts of my day or sharing different parts of my journey. Like, I like that idea, but it's like the actual work behind it of editing the video and all of the things.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
It's so much work. And so it's like, you know, when you start a hobby or when you start a new area of your business, it's like, be realistic with how much work it's going to take to be able to accomplish or get it at the level that you want it to be.
Absolutely.
Too.
And I think so. YouTube is also a lot more personal, which is so weird because I've like kind of emotionally disconnected a little bit from Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite as like, not offended, but I'm not as hurt if things aren't received like super well. And so like when you put a video up on YouTube, you feel like you are actually putting up like a piece of yourself on like up in front of people. Like, I don't know. It's different. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit more like hard to deal with rejection on YouTube than it is to do on Instagram, because Instagram is still very much like, there's still a wall between you and your followers. Like, even if you are like very real and authentic, it still feels like there's a little bit of safety between you guys. But for YouTube, when you put yourself up there as like showing your personality, in showing like videos of yourself, it feels so much more like open and raw, which can be a really, really good thing, but it can also just be a little bit more of a sensitive like
space.
Area. Yeah. Or a sensitive space to be in.
Oh, I mean, I think that way about blogging, about writing, about creating in general. Like any time that you know, you're creating something with your heart and soul in it, it can be extremely intimidating. And I really like your mindset around Instagram and kind of emotionally detaching yourself from that and treating it like a business and really doing that with social media in general, because then like your feelings aren't hurt, your energy's not being wasted on things that honestly don't matter, and you're able to focus on creating and like focusing on your business. And I think that's, I'm going to start doing that, because I really do see the value in kind of detaching yourself from, you know, finding your worth there, finding your authority there isn't always, you know, the best because you don't own it and things like that. But with starting your YouTube channel, is that why you rebranded from CW Design into By Chloe Nguyen? Or to kind of tell me about that rebrand and how difficult that was to decide.
Oh gosh. Okay. Sorry. It wasn't, difficult at all, really. It
okay,
was,
good.
I was sitting at a coffee shop at like 7 a.m. and I just kind of decided to do it. And that's how my mind works. I don't think on things too long or hard, which like I said, can be a really good thing or it can be a really bad thing. in this case, I think it was a really good thing. I think it was good that I because I wasn't super emotionally invested into CW Design, that I was able to kind of reinvent myself as somebody different. And that's something that my friend Mallory, who's, like I said, who's a very successful blogger, YouTuber, she's like, her big piece of advice is like, you cannot be afraid to reinvent yourself as a creative. Mm-hmm. And I think she's absolutely right. If you're afraid to restart, or if you're afraid to rebrand, or if you're afraid to transform, then that's going to hold you back a lot. I think being afraid is going to hold you back more than taking the risk and failing. Because I don't know. I didn't know how it would be received. All of a sudden people get on and are like, who is this person? But honestly, I changed it just for convenience because there was already like 20 CW design counts. I was like, well, I don't want to be stuck with these other 20 CW design counts around me. I was like, I'll be something completely different. So I changed it by Chloe Nguyen. I changed my email. I changed my website. I changed my YouTube.
Everything.
I changed Twitter. Everything was uniformed for once in my life. So it was more for convenience and more for creating a more identifiable brand rather than just CW design, because there's, like I said, there's like 15 other CW designs out there.
And well, now you're by Chloe Nguyen.
Yeah. So.
No, I think that's smart. And also not being so attached to your brand that you can't transform yourself. I love that advice too, because you will definitely hold yourself back from growth and from allowing yourself to grow into, you know, whatever you're supposed to, or kind of evolve, versus just staying in the same place and being like, well, this is working right now, so I'm just going to stay here forever.
Yeah.
Because I think that also happens, you know?
Yeah. And my whole, like, I think the reason, well, I know the reason why that my Instagram and all that stuff has been so, like, successful. I don't even really want to use that word, but I think the reason why it's done so well is because ever since the beginning of it, I've gone into it, and I very much still am open-handed about it, you know? I try not to hold on to it as, like, this is mine, like, don't touch it, don't look at it, don't, like, because it's not mine. I think it was an absolute gift from God. I think that that Instagram suggested user could have happened to anybody. And so the fact that it happened to me wasn't anything that I did. It was an absolute blessing. And so I think the reason why I have such an easy time with changing or doing something different or putting it down for a little bit is because I'm not clinging to it. You know, I'm not suffocating it. I'm kind of just letting it be what it is and just, you know, taking steps forward, continually, but I'm not, you know, so wrapped up in what it is that I can't see what's around me to move forward, I guess, if that makes sense.
Makes complete sense, girl. You just, like, totally spoke to me. I'm over here nodding, and you are so wise. Like, I love your outlook, and I love how, you know, you're just fearless. Like, if I could think of, like, a couple words to describe you, it would be wise, fearless, and just real. Like, I love that you are open to sharing this, especially with someone that is doing this full time and that is, you know, very successful. Like, you still take time to share what you're doing and hope that it helps other people, as well as, like, you look at everything with a really positive but real lens, you know? And so you're like, well, this is what it is. And I love that analogy of holding everything with an open hand, because I think when you do hold on too tightly, that's when things get rocky, and that's when things, you know, get off kilter. And so, girl, I just love you. Like, you're just the greatest.
And I think that's also just how you help people too. If you're holding on to your thing too tightly, like, how are you going to help somebody else?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I don't know. I've found that in sections of the blogging community, people can be very secretive and hold on to theirs, you know, and they're more of like, don't look at it, don't touch it, kind of, and
don't give me any feedback.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just, I think that's stupid. It's like, like, Instagram, it's just Instagram. Like, why are we keeping secrets about this? Like, why aren't we helping people? Like, it's not a secret. If people want to know how to make money, like, why aren't we telling them? Like, why? Because other people, you know, landing brand deals does not mean that they took it from you, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like I just want to avoid that a lot as well, because I find it hurtful when people, you know, keep things secret, because it's like, why is this a secret? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And we're all kind of making things up as we go. I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Like, yeah, this is a space that has never been created before. Yes, like, let's every help single, each other. Yeah, let's help each other, like, do it. Let's do the thing together versus, I always say, community over competition. Yeah. Because I would rather wake up in the morning and go to bed at night knowing that I have a strong community around me that supports me, right, and that can help me and that I can help them and be an asset to their life versus, you know, being this like island where it's like, nope, no one can, yeah, you know, no one can dock their ship here. Like, I'm on my own and I can figure things out on my own. You know, like, it's a very naive way of thinking.
Yeah. And just like, help, like, doesn't, like, helping other people doesn't mean that, you know, you just stop working on yours completely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I completely agree with all of that.
I could talk to you forever, but girl, we got to go to work. We got to do some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to go. No, I'm just kidding. But I have one more question for you, but I would love for you to share where people can find you online.
All right. The humble brag. Here we go. I'm just kidding. I'm so telling people. Yeah. So pretty much everything is by Chloe Nguyen. So BYCHLOEWEN. And that is my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook, my YouTube.
Your website.
My website. It's all the same thing. And that's why I changed it.
It's very congruent.
Yes. Wanted it to be easy for people to remember.
And each platform is a little different. So YouTube is a little bit more personal, your personality. Instagram is a lot of style. Oh, you have like the best style and best photography. Wow. So yeah, just go check her out online. Chloe's been someone that has really inspired me as an entrepreneur and as a creative. It's been a blessing to see her grow. I've only known her for, I think it's been about four months now. But even in just that short time, like, I love just seeing her grow, and it motivates me and inspires me to take chances on myself. So I always challenge people to surround themselves with people that do that for them, that push them, that challenge them, and that allow them to kind of see their own creativity within themselves. And you're definitely someone that does that, Chloe. So I have one more question for you, and that would be, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Oh, laptop lifestyle. I think it just gives you freedom. It just, when I think of that, I think of freedom to do what you want, and to do what you love, and the mobility of being able to pick up and travel or pick up and go to a coffee shop or just do anything. There's just so much freedom in not being tied down somewhere. And so that's what I think of.
I agree. There's freedom in the idea that you can create a career for yourself, yeah, simply with the laptop, and you can do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Chloe. You have been such a gift to me, and you're such a light to the creative space. So I'm very thankful for you. Thank you.
Thank you.